If you want to help out the show, there are several ways to do so. Go to anchor.fm/PVOTN and help out monetarily, or find us on Patreon, where I have three levels of awesomeness to choose from, or you can share the awesomeness on your socials. Let's get on with the show.
Get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PVOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing, leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh yeah!
Welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds. This is a podcast about the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. I'm Bradley Butin, and this is
Brian S. Dennis with an S, with an S stand for Leroy.
Leroy Jenkins. Let's get right to it.
Well, Bradley, I am really excited. So at the time of taping, this is our final Prevenge of the Nerds for the month of February, and I hope everyone has had a wonderful, blessed, and safe February. So there are a couple things that happened in the month of February. Number one, it will be 9 months from now that our country will be blessed, most likely with some newborn babies, because it holds the Day of Love. It holds President's Day, and the entire month is dedicated to Black history. And as always, Black history is American history. So every week, every recording we've made this month, we have focused on, as well as the greatest Super Bowl halftime show ever. We have looked at some of our favorite actors of African American descent, and looked at some of our favorite portrayals. We've done all actors this month, so I think next year we want to focus on actors, or any other time focus on actors. We definitely want to make sure to include the wonderful women who bring so many of our favorite shows and movies to life. But week one, we did Denzel. We followed that up with Will Smith. And this week, we are doing the incomparable, the legendary, the leader of the Nerdverse, our own Craven idol, Mr. Samuel Leroy Jackson.
Nice. That's all great and all. But first, Brian.
Yes.
The Mac in macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
Short for macaroni and cheese or macaroni.
It's got to be macaroni, right? Because if not, it would be macaroni and cheese and cheese. Yeah.
Macaroni and A and cheese.
That's true. But in my household, we just call it mac and cheese. So to me, the mac's got to be short for macaroni, because if you do the full thing, it just is. But I've never thought about it. It could be both. But, for me, it just stands for macaroni. But again, in my household, if you make Kraft macaroni and cheese, you've done something wrong. So in my household, the macaroni and cheese takes about 3 hours to make, because we do it old school over here.
So, Brian, I have to say, I'm quite the macaroni and cheese guy. And when I make Kraft, I always have to put extra cheese in my macaroni.
Yes.
And I can't say, I was on the Facebook today, and there's now flavor packets that you can buy.
No.
For your Kraft macaroni and cheese.
No, we're not. We're delving into ramen land at this point. No. No. What is it? Okay, hang on. Help me out with this. Yeah. What is a flavor pack you can get for your mac and cheese? Like, are there examples of this? Like, what is the possibility?
And it's ranch, pizza flavoring, and buffalo.
You may have me a little bit with ranch, because I think ranch and cheese works well. I'm not surprised to hear buffalo. I think that would be horrible, but I'm not surprised to hear it. And what was the other one? Pizza. Ranch, buffalo.
Yeah, pizza.
No, if it's that serious, just get a pizza. I mean, if it's really that, if you need some pizza in your life, and we all do, if you need some pizza in your life, just even if you got to hot pocket it up, you know, pizza rolls, whatever. Okay, so real quick, I will say the worst snack. Yeah, I'm not even sure if it's we've done a snack episode before, but I got to say the snack that I was most excited for, I will call this the 355 of snacks. It was a snack I was so excited for, and it just did not live up to the name, was Bagel Bites. I just thought these are hard, crusty nuggets. At this point, the sauce is dried up. The cheese is burnt. The little, you can't even call them pepperoni. You know, whatever the topping is, I was like, you know what? If you'd have gave me the $5, Bob, I probably could have honestly, at eight, could have probably made something better. But right. I just can, yeah, it's great marketing. At least pizza rolls, you know, you can doctor some pizza rolls. You put them in the oven, a little hot sauce, some ranch, you know, and you're good. Versus, right. I never got the Bagel Bites. Never once got the Bagel Bites.
And you know, I still think like the pizza rolls, the internal temperature of pizza rolls is hotter than hell.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I mean, so many burnt dogs there.
If they ever redo Home, I think they've actually redone Home Alone recently. I feel like they've done a remake of it fairly recently. But if they ever add another Home Alone, they should have this thing where he fights off the burglars with just a bowl of piping hot pizza roll that he just squirts. Sauce. Yeah. But by the time the police show up, they take him to the burn unit. By the way, movies that the premise doesn't hold up because technology has gotten better. Because the kid, if Macaulay Culkin had like a ring device back in the 80s, like he's not breaking in.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, if he had, if everybody had a cell phone back then, you know, it's just been, you know, and, you know, or, you know, again, kind of like when people watch the Lord of the Rings movies, we talk about why don't they just ride the eagles the entire way. As I got older, and Home Alone was one of my favorite movies, it still is.
Yeah.
But I remember watching it with human eyes going, there were so many better ways that they could have gotten back to him while in Paris. Like the fact that she had to hit the red eye and then ride in a van with John Candy, which that had to be interesting.
Right.
RIP. I was like, come on. There's the fact that it was, you know, like 4 or 5 days. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Amber Alert, something. But yeah. So, but anyway.
She got home minutes before everybody else did.
Yes.
So, like, yes. Really?
Yes.
Like, really, what did that all accomplish?
Yes.
Nothing.
Yes. And I love the fact that Catherine O'Hara in many of her movies has shown her inability to be a great parent. So this is the same woman that forgot Macaulay Culkin, refused to believe when Winona Ryder was seeing ghosts, even though they made them sing Dale. So you gotta wonder, you know. Man, and why Harry Belafonte become the soundtrack of the afterlife? Not that it shouldn't be, but just curious why Calypso music is the soundtrack of the afterlife.
Fair. That's fair.
So, Bradley, real quick revenge question for you.
Yeah.
If you said Batman 3 times, would Michael Keaton show up behind you?
Oh gosh. Yeah, I would think he would. I mean, and Bradley. I mean, I would welcome it with open arms. And I mean, I love this resurgence of Michael Keaton. We're getting him in Flash movie, we're getting him Batgirl.
Yes.
He's kind of the multiverse anchor, I'm guessing, for DC.
I mean, at this point, all we need is a Mr. Mambo, a Multiplicity reference, and we're good to go, you know, so.
And a vulture suit.
Yes. But, and have you ever seen, gosh, I think maybe it was behind the scenes, but there was a thing where someone remarked that Michael Keaton does a fantastic Jack Nicholson. I can't remember what I've seen that. But he does. It was because it was during Batman. I remember now. It was during the filming of the. Yes. Yeah, yes. It was. They spent so much time together with the original Batman. Keaton this, who's very, who's a comedic actor as well, very funny. Yeah. Actually had, does a killer Michael Caine. I mean killer Jack Nicholson, yeah. Which yeah, so perfect. And at this point, Michael Keaton might be the age of Michael Caine. As we're going through our timeline, Keaton's getting up there. So yes.
Yeah. So do you think they're gonna do a Batman Beyond movie?
I think they should absolutely do a Batman Beyond movie. Yeah. And I think again, and that's what I was thinking about when I was hitting around that I think if you do that, it would make perfect sense to recast him as Bruce Wayne. You know, you could have him older, beaten down, kind of unassuming. Mm-hmm. I think that would make perfect sense. I did see an article that said there with the relaunch of Terry McGinnis and playing with that character's origin a little bit more. I thought Batman Beyond was really good. I don't think it got nearly the amount of love as Batman the Animated Series. It's not quite as good as Batman the Animated Series. Very few series are. Yeah. But I thought it was really good, and I love the fact of seeing an older, broken down, physically anyway. Yeah. Bruce Wayne and all the things that happen and the way that the villains would change over time and the way that Joker became a bit of a folk hero and all those sorts of things. I just absolutely was a huge fan of Batman Beyond.
You know, and then the ending of that series of the show mm-hmm. was fantastic. I mean, bringing out like Terry McGinnis was a clone of Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I maybe it was just because I was a lot younger when this all went down, but that was pretty darn cool. And that's I really dug that. Now the comic, he finally got his Robin. Batman Beyond does have Robin now. Unfortunately, I haven't really been following it. I was for a little while, but you know, like you can only follow so many comics, right?
Yes. The production, the output is harder than is much more than muscles to keep track of reading every single thing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's a good book. I think DC does have something with that timeline. I think they could really develop it more, but you know, it is. You know, the reason why we're talking so much about Batman is because the Batman. Comes out very soon.
Yes. So we're recording this on Sunday, February 27th. Batman, the Batman, is being released at most places this Thursday, March 3rd. This is our second trip to Fandemic at the Movies or Revenge at the Movies. The first one we saw was Spider-Man Far From Home. Spider-Man No Way Home, excuse me. So this will be our second one where we, Bradley, myself, and some friends of ours, some have been on the podcast, some will be coming on the podcast. We're going to go watch it, give our thoughts. I'm really extremely excited. Again, as someone that when Affleck was cast, I was not enthusiastic about that. Unfortunately, my fears were proven correct. I think overall, Ben Affleck will probably go down as the only Batman to never have a solo Batman movie. He never got a chance to be in a solo Batman movie. And then now we have Robert Pattinson, who, as long as there's no two things, no shimmering and no nipples on the bat suit. I mean, Robert Pattinson, I'm sure, has lovely nipples. Sorry. But, you know, as long as we don't have nipples on the uniform and no sparkling.
It doesn't sparkle.
You can make... Yeah, no sparkle. I mean, I think it'd be great if they could, and I'm guessing there's got to be something like a little winky nudge, something. Maybe someone throws glitter on the bat suit or something just for a second. But as long as you know, I think it'll be done seriously, which obviously it needs to be, and I think it's gonna be really good. And I'm really excited for the relaunch of the series.
Excellent. We're gonna get more into that in my tat, but let's go ahead and get right into our.
Yes, sir.
Let's get ready. We are going to go
let's get it on.
The one, the only Samuel L. Jackson movies. What are our favorite movies? This was really hard.
No kidding.
I still, at this time, I do not have a complete, like, I don't know what my number one to my number 10 are. This is going to be fluctuating as we go. Cause he's in everything.
The only one I knew going into this was my number one.
Same.
That's the only one I knew. Everything else, and I mean, you should see on my notebook paper the amount of scratches and rewrites and honorable mentions. And I have more honorable mentions than I normally do. I normally do five honorable mentions in my countdown of my top five. I think I've got 10 honorable mentions. And honestly, one of them was, I don't want to bear, if you don't mind, I'll go first this week.
Go ahead.
One of them was, I got through the entire thing and then I forgot one. And then going back and adding that one, it made me rethink of more. So that's why my honorable mention list is fairly long. So, yeah, so we're going to cover our top five Samuel L. Jackson. And again, the L literally does stand for Leroy. But I have my honorable mention. I think I've got 10 actual honorable mentions. I think I've got my 15. So if you're good with this, sir, I will get started.
Let's do it.
All right. So in no particular order, here are my Samuel Jackson honorable mention roles and movies. And like anything else, when folks have been, this is what made it extra hard for Samuel Jackson, is for anything that any type of franchises, and that's going to be important here, for any type of franchises, I only picked one movie out of the franchise.
Yeah.
So that's going to make the MCU real interesting. All right.
Right, because he's kind of the glue.
He is the glue, but has never had this, but there has not been a Nick Fury movie, but he's in everything. Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go. All right. Again, no particular order of honorable mentions. We got to start off with his portrayal as Frozone. Come on now, The Incredibles part two just is amazing. I mean, I love Frozone. Just brings so much. The argument between him and his wife over his super suit, I think just still those little moments to steal the movies every single time. Samuel Jackson is one of the coolest actors and probably coolest people. So you got to give his role as the coolest cop walking the street. You got to let me Shaft. SWAT did not make my list, but was really close. Okay.
Me too. I wanted it so bad.
This is another honorable mention, and it's an honorable mention. Just the movie is kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's definitely a popcorn. We just watch it to be silly, but has that great moment where he goes, I'm tired of these MFing snakes on this MFing plane. Snakes on a plane. All right. Okay, next up. RIP to Bernie Mac. This is just one that comes with the movie that I don't know how well it did in the theaters. If you haven't seen it, it's a really fun, cute movie, Soul Men, with him and Bernie Mac. Really funny. This is a movie that I went to. I said I was going to count the amount of MF-er drops, and I quit counting at 54, and I think I was on like 90 minutes into the movie. It was incredible.
Right.
Okay. Right. Talk about that. So maybe we'll get a moment where we see Samuel Jackson hanging out with Deadpool, because we've seen great chemistry between Samuel Jackson and Ryan Reynolds, Nick Fury and Deadpool. But Samuel Jackson, Ryan Reynolds. Up next, we've got The Hitman's Bodyguard. Really good. Really good.
The second one was not as good.
Second one for it was not as good. It was way too much Salma Hayek, I think. Yeah. Her characters took away from it. And the other thing of it is, just take a real quick aside. When The Hitman's Bodyguard ended, they were in a really good place. But when the Hitman's wife's bodyguard happened, they don't like each other. So what happened? And also, they completely, this is a spoiler, they got rid of Ryan Reynolds' character's girlfriend. Like, they don't even mention her. They don't even say, oh, you guys broke up. Like, she's not mentioned the entire film. Which again goes, they could even, I mean, from the writer's standpoint, did you see the first one? Okay. Hence, the sequel did not make the list. Kevin Spacey and Samuel Jackson, Negotiator. Great acting, just all the way around. At this point, maybe Kevin Spacey needs a negotiator, try to get his career back. But the movie itself was just really, really well done. Again, he's great at any type of dramas. He always brings such incredible. This one was close to making my top five, didn't quite make it, but A Time to Kill with him, Matthew McConaughey, Sandra Bullock, Oliver Platt, Kiefer Sutherland. I mean, we talk about movies that have incredible casts. That was just Kiefer and Donald Sutherland are in that movie.
That's there, right.
I forgot that father and son are in on opposite sides of the law. I love the fact that Donald plays this super liberal Southern lawyer and his son plays a Nazi, a white supremacist. Okay. And they're not father and son in the movie. All right.
Pretty much. Closing. He plays a character from Lost Boys.
Yes. Closing in. Good one. You may try to make me a killer. You are a killer. Okay. R.P. to Robert Patrick's career. Okay. This one, he was in the movie for probably less than 5 minutes, but it's a great one for I don't know about you, Brad. I love being that person that goes, look, for people before they hit it big. You see them in bit roles.
Yeah.
Another great movie to do that with is A Few Good Men. Lots of really bit parts for people who became much famous later, but he does an incredible turn as the robber in Coming to America.
Just talked about that. Yeah.
Just absolutely love that. He's only in it for a couple minutes. It definitely is a scene where it's about Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall, but it's Samuel Jackson. Come on. You gotta love that. All right. And then the thing, the whole reason I had to expand my honorable mentions, because I had done my five and I was closing up. And I was double checking the filmography, and even before the filmography led me to it, it realized that I had forgotten to include his run as Mace. I just could, and I'm guessing we may have that in different places, as it's on my honorable mentions.
It probably made my top five.
I may have to slot it at number six. I was thinking Brad is gonna kill me if I don't mention. Not to mean he's a great role, but I literally, that made me rethink. I had done my five and go, how do I, like you say, he's in everything. I go, how on earth I forget Mace Windu? So then if I get done with Mace and other, then A Time to Kill popped in all these other movies. So, but yes, Mace Windu. Okay, so I guess if I had to pick one, I gotta go episode three. Just because I love the fight between him and Palpatine, which he was winning had it not been for Vader. Well, I'm sorry, at that point, still Anakin. So yeah, okay. So now for my actual top five. So we got to just go ahead and go there, which is number five, Nick Fury. Obviously, this was really tough because Nick Fury is in the vast majority of the live action MCU movies. There's very few that he's not in, even just a bit role. I do find it interesting that while he is in, we see him at the very end of Endgame, where he was blimped out as well. And that is the one I've double checked. That is the one film that Samuel Jackson actually makes an appearance in, and he does not have one moment of dialogue. So Nick Fury does not speak in Endgame. Okay. But to pick a film with that game, I just went with Avengers. I mean, it was really a toss-up between Avengers and Captain America, The Winter Soldier. That's probably the, again, going back and forth with that one. Number four, I had to go with Mr. Glass in Unbreakable.
Okay.
And I probably also could have done that in Glass, but there's that. I just love him and anything where he gets to kind of do buddy stuff. So I went with him as Zeus Carver in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Okay.
Him and Bruce Willis played so well off of just the way he was Scream McClane. Just always worked well for me. I'm assuming you've seen this movie. You have not. This is one of those films that I binge literally every week. Netflix has both an extended version of this movie, as well as the original. In the extended version, they break the movie into sections, so you can almost watch it as episodic television series instead of a movie, which is The Hateful Eight, where he plays Major Marcus Warren. I just love him so much in that. I didn't listen in Django. He does phenomenal in Django as well. And then number one, which is the only one I knew when I thought about it, say I took about 2 seconds of brain time and I go, of course, this is his number one role. This is the movie that everybody else makes, some huge Samuel Jackson fan. It's a movie that he should have won an Academy Award for. I will not speak about how he was done wrong, but he his role is Jules Winfield, the man from Inglewood in Pulp Fiction.
Yes. Yes, man. So I'm gonna do this mine a little bit different because like I know what my number one is.
Sure.
And then the rest are just there. So I'm just gonna kind of go over some of the same things, but some other things that weren't mentioned on your end, but I'm gonna add them mine. Shaft definitely on there. Love Shaft, love SWAT, and those are like those are battling pretty hardcore. Absolutely. But then I figured like I as much as I love the movie SWAT with him in it, I love the TV show with Shamar Moore.
Yes,
probably a little bit more.
I mean, Samuel Jackson shirtless, Shamar Moore shirtless. Can you right. really tell the difference?
Exactly. You
know? Hey, Hondo's Hondo, right?
Yeah. And then Hateful Eight, I totally agree. One movie that didn't make your list, but is just really shows his comedic chops, Loaded Weapon One.
Almost. So close.
Yes. Oh my. Yeah. I remember watching that. I wanted them to make more of those so bad, and they never did.
I found it harder to exclude movies than it was to include. I wanted to say here's this whole list. Take it out, mate. I really had a hard time finding anything. Even Caveman's Valentine, which is such a weird movie.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I can do number one.
Sure.
And I can probably do number two, but all the rest are the same. And I'll save those two for the end. But you probably know what they are.
So I got a good feeling. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, we have the same number one.
So, all right.
another movie that also shows his dramatic chops as well, Coach Carter.
Yes.
Coach Carter. Man, that's another movie watched many, many, many times. Probably one of my favorite Samuel Jackson movies.
And given his penchant for language, well, he has quite a few movies on mm-hmm. Disney due to the Marvel thing, but one of his few roles that MF-er does not come out of his lips. I mean, this is a true Disney movie. Coach Carter was before Disney owned like 90% of our media, which that's a whole nother discussion. but this is a true Disney movie starring Samuel Jackson, which you gotta love that.
Right, right. Unbreakable made mine. Black Snake Moan, another one that I love to death. Now, when we came to the Marvel movies, because you can't do a Samuel Jackson list without mentioning him as Nick Fury, I was back and forth. Do I do Avengers? Do I do Winter Soldier? Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, you know what? He probably has the most screen time in Captain Marvel. So,
right. Yeah.
I went to Captain
Marvel. That's the closest to an actual Nick Fury movie. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Right. That, you know, and we, it's pretty much the origin story of Nick Fury.
Yep. Yes.
So I went to there. I am looking forward to Secret Invasion. Jeez,
Secret Invasion. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really fun, and I'm sure we'll be seeing him come up a lot more, and maybe we'll get some variants of Nick Fury in the next Loki season. Who knows?
So we can start this for a second. When it comes to Captain Marvel, again, I agree with you. It's probably the closest we have to an actual Nick Fury movie. We haven't had a movie called Nick Fury, but again, right. You're right. It's kind of back to the origin story. And I love the way they play with where's the eye injury coming from.
Yeah.
And so many of them, and finally when Goose scratches him, and when he looks to the to the scroll and just going, you know, hey, it's not that bad, and them going, well, no, it really is. And you know, I mean, he and Brie Larson had such fan when he takes the thing with the piece of tape that had the fingerprint on it. He's trying to unwrap it. She just, you know, plasma blasts the door open. And he goes, you let me mess up the tape when you could have went. And he does the thing with the fist. It was that by itself was fantastic. So I'm hoping also with, you know, they showed the connection he had with a very young Captain Marvel slash Phantasm. Photon. I'm hoping that maybe with Marvels we'll get some type of drop in there as well. You know, so I think there's definitely, he's definitely not done in the MCU. Yeah. So it just thinking those creative ways that we can get a little Nick Fury in our lives.
Do you think that we could possibly get a variant of Nick Fury that's David Hasselhoff?
You know what? I trust, okay, setting aside Black Widow and Eternals.
Right.
And I got to give Marvel credit to, up until those two movies. Again, we've talked before on other podcasts, they really weren't that bad. They really aren't. Yeah. The biggest thing, the biggest misstep in my mind that Marvel had was the way they handled the Mandarin in Iron Man 3. And they totally fixed that with Shang.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Legends of the Ten Rings. So, you've already seen they're not afraid to bring in other versions of Spider-Man. So why not give us a day? If you can give us an alligator Loki,
yes,
give us Nick Fury as with David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, just for
If Hasselhoff, and I'm talking, I want Hasselhoff and all his Hasselhoffness. Like I want an overweight David Hasselhoff running in slow motion, a la Baywatch style.
Right.
I want a Kit. Like, can we get Kit in the MCU? Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, and you got to give him the really tight spandex jumpsuit.
Yes.
I mean, you have to go totally 90s in it. You have to.
Yes. Well, here's a quick tangent for you. On Netflix, you can actually binge the original Knight Rider series, which I started watching. Then I realized, as much as I hold on to my youth, I am not sure why that show was such a treasured memory. Like, I'm like, really? Yeah.
That's why really? I don't watch that stuff anymore.
Yes,
like, shows that Quantum Leap has good rewatchability.
Yes, yes.
There's a few other ones. But yeah, you're right.
But it led me to this question, which I think is a great topic for pre-Vince. So what is your AI of choice, Jarvis or Kit?
Man, that's a tough question. I'm gonna have to say Jarvis.
Okay.
Even though I did own a Trans Am growing up, when I was 16, I had a Trans Am. It wasn't black. But no, that's a Firebird. He had a Firebird, not a Trans Am.
Yeah, he did have a Firebird.
But
yeah.
I mean, okay, they're the same thing. Let's be real.
They really are. Yeah, yeah. Kind of like the skins in a massive role playing game. It's same deal.
Right.
Same thing.
What about you? Same question.
I'm going Friday. Every Friday. I probably would get Kit. I think I could have great. I think I have more fun talking to Kit. Yeah. Jarvis is way too agreeable. You know, like, but you give me Kit had that snide, you know, like Michael mm-hmm. Knight was, Michael Knight was actually an idiot. He really was. The fact that that guy was given that car and had as much fun in that car as he, like, come on now. That car should have gone to Magnum PI.
Right. You know? And there's way too many ramps all around that city.
Yes. No matter where they were. So again, my money would have been on, by the way, that's got to be a thing. Like, if you had to match that car up, give it to Magnum.
Yeah.
Magnum would have saw all the crime in Hawaii probably would have surfed in it. So yeah.
Right. Tom Selleck's mustache would have just been
would have been awesome.
Mean, yeah. Yeah.
That probably goes down of 80s iconography as one of the greatest thing ever is Madden PI or Tom Selleck's mustache.
Right. Picking up Richard Dean Anderson.
Yeah.
His car broke down. All right,
and somehow calling in the A-Team. Yes, right, we want all these. We want all the things with air support by Airwolf. Michael Vincent will be there.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I gotta. I know we're going on a tail. I gotta ask this one thing. Do you remember the show? Because most people when I bring this up, don't know this show. Uh-huh. Do you know Street Hawk?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I haven't heard that for. They had a really good sound like intro. If I remember right, we are gonna look that up really quick here. Street Hawk. Do you remember it was on Saturday mornings?
Okay.
Back in the 80s. And it was like Captain Power.
Yes.
Man, I loved that.
That show was a show that should have gotten so much further.
Yes.
I mean, it was, it even had a 3D aspect to it. So if you had glasses, mm-hmm. you could watch it, you know, with a little more texture. I mean, that was, Captain Power was fantastic.
Yeah.
I remember, this has got to be great for the pot. Yeah, Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. But I just remember, you know, them the getting in the little suits to get the upgrade and all those things. It was just fantastic.
So Street Hawk, it was pretty much Knight Rider with a motorcycle.
Yeah, I was gonna say Airwolf with a motorcycle. Same difference, absolutely.
Yeah, yep. But excellent, nice little tangent there. Okay, so a couple more Samuel.
Further proof that the 80s were the greatest. I don't know, 80s or 90s, they're right there together, but definitely top, really right there. Okay, go ahead, sir.
I'm with you. Let's see here, Unbreakable, Die Hard with a Vengeance, as well, because you know what, like, say he made that movie.
Yes.
You ended Die Hard with a Vengeance like wanting John McClane to just work with him more.
Yeah, I was so disappointed when he came back and there's no Zeus. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
They would at least be, I mean, they'd have been boys like that. They had an opportunity to pick up where Lethal Weapon left off. I mean, they could just completely, I mean, and by the way, that was the last good Die Hard movie. Mm-hmm. That was the last good Die Hard movie, in my opinion. Yeah.
That's the less memory. I mean, I can't think of anything after that, really. I mean,
yeah,
and I love me some Die Hard, especially around Christmas time, because Die Hard is the greatest Christmas movie.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But just, I mean, and I mean, I want to, you know, just Jeremy, I mean, I personally like Jeremy Irons. I mean, I probably went a few times. I like Jeremy Irons better than Snape, but it was just, I go back and forth if that's my favorite Die Hard or the original.
Mm-hmm.
I could really go back and forth on those, but two, I don't know why two's has never really been my favorite. I mean, it gave us a Yippee-ki-yay, but whatever. Yeah. But that's just fantastic. You're right. And just when he goes, you know, when he says, you know, Jesus, you know, Father of Apollo, stick a lightning bolt up your ass. I was like, Zeus. And he just, everything was just fantastic. So, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the writing in three was so much better.
Yes.
Than one and two.
Yes.
Where they find, like, hey, we have the lightning in the bottle. Let's keep it.
Yes.
There, you know.
Yeah.
So that's such a great movie. Samuel Jackson is like the greatest support character actor out there. I mean, his filmography, it just proves it.
I mean, it's rarely a movie where you, I mean, he can definitely hold a movie on his own. But I mean, we've mentioned so many of these that when you pair him with someone, you pair him with Kevin Spacey, you get to negotiate, you pair him with Gina Davis, Long Kiss Goodnight, even mention that one. Pair with Gina Davis, Long Kiss Goodnight, you know, Bruce Willis, you get Die Hard with a Vengeance. Bernie Mac gets Soul Man. I mean, right. Obviously, if I had to go into a battle either with Thor or Samuel Jackson, I'm thinking Samuel Jackson because, you know, he's got that eye patch. You know, I mean, just all these great things that he does. And, you know, in all seriousness, to be an actor and you can do so many different things, he's the most bankable.
Mm-hmm.
His movies have made the most money. And I think what makes me a Samuel Jackson fan more than anything else, really quickly, I wound up having a doctor's appointment right before COVID hit. And I was waiting just a general checkup. And the Ellen Show was on in the lobby. And Ellen was interviewing Samuel Jackson. And she goes, hey, I thought, she's trying to have a very jovial Ellen interview.
Yeah.
And she goes, hey, I heard that you take being the highest grossing actor of all time really seriously. And at that point, they had like a typical daytime Hollywood interview. They were joking back and forth. A lot of it didn't fake laughter.
Yeah.
And you could see his entire mood change. And he goes, I take it extremely serious. And he talked about how, you know, because he goes, you know, I may never win an Oscar, but that's something that you can't take away from. So he feels so much internal competition with Harrison Ford, who is typically number two.
Yeah.
Because of the indie movie, Indiana Jones movie, Star Wars, and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
That he takes it very, very seriously. And then he talks about how he called his agent upset when the trailers for episode 7 were coming out. And at the end of that trailer, you see Han and Chewie in the Millennium Falcon. And yeah. he realizes that he's in it. So that's going to up his royalty because he can now count that movie. So he goes, he was like, you got to give me something else, I can make some more money. But I thought that he is that person that takes those things seriously. This again makes me dislike him that much more. And by the way, we didn't even mention him in the Kill Bill movies. So yes, absolutely. Right.
I mean, my number two is his portrayal of Mace Windu in. I was the same way. Which one do I do? Which one of the prequels do I do? I went the same, Revenge of the Sith, because of his fight with Palpatine.
Yes.
He the best part of Attack of the Clones was Boba's dad getting Jango Fett getting his head cut off by his lightsaber, you know. But 3 was more his movie.
Yep.
There is still a place for Mace Windu in Star Wars. I think he might end up with his own series. He said Samuel Jackson said he'd do it. So what are they waiting for? I mean, we got.
If you're doing Obi-Wan, you got to do Mace Windu, right? Come on.
I concur, man. I concur. I mean, like, I want to see that purple lightsaber again.
Yes. And that's another reason why I just love the way he talked about how when he agreed to do the movie, that was one of his contractual conditions, was he wanted a purple lightsaber. So, again, knowing how movies are made, when the battles are shown, those aerial scenes, they've got, dozens of lightsabers swinging around. He goes, you'll be able to see the purple one, so that's where I'll be. I mean, the fact that he takes those things seriously and thinks about that. And you know what? We joke all the time, but he comes off, and again, it's just how he chooses to come off. He comes off as a bit of a fanboy, which I like.
Yeah,
you can't do movies that generate this type of fan base and, pretend like this is somehow some high art for the elites. No, this is great fun for the masses, and he does a great job bringing a lot of joy to a lot of people.
And you know what? If he gets bored, he does a credit card commercial,
Right?
Okay,
no lie. I have a Capital One credit card because of Samuel Jackson. I need that in my wallet. I need that in my wallet right now. Absolutely.
Oh, man. Oh, then my number one, like you, Pulp Fiction, because when you think Pulp Fiction, you think two people. You think Samuel Jackson and John Travolta.
Yes. For every moment, you got that great dancing with Uma Thurman. Pulp Fiction is my favorite movie of all time. If I have to pick a favorite, I always go Pulp Fiction.
Oh, wow.
It's either that or maybe Godfather. Godfather would be number two. But anyway, I've seen that movie back and forth, upside down and sideways. I can pretty much quote the entire thing. Yeah. That dance scene between Travolta and Uma Thurman was fantastic. But it's that monologue that he does. When the movie starts, they do that really kind of slow burn. You see these two guys in these really cool black suits, and they get the guns out of the trunk, and they go and they hang back, and they're complete professionals. They get to the apartment early, they hang back, they have the great look. Come on, that hallway scene between him and Travolta is just fantastic. Just the way they banter. Remember, last time we seen John Travolta, we had seen him talking to a baby, right? To a baby Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah.
So to see, and that really started a lot of the Travolta research. Because after that, we got Broken Arrow, we got Phenomenon, we got so many things that really brought out Dale. Travolta went Scientologist and kind of lost us all. RIP to your career, sir, unfortunately. But then they have the thing, and he does that monologue, when he shoots the dude and talk about, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration? And he goes, allow me to retort. And then he does a soliloquy talk with a little bit, but the quotes from the Bible. That was just phenomenal. And then the end of the movie with Tim Roth. And talking him down when he doesn't want to kill him, and he just want to go walk the earth like Kung Fu, which and then of course Tarantino makes a Kung Fu reference with the Kill Bill series and Bill. he's just flipping phenomenal. So here's my one beef, and this is why I talk of whenever I do want to bring this up, is this. So I don't know, Bradley. I'm not a huge awards follower person because I'm just not. But I do remember that year there's a lot to be made of this, and then I'll kind of hush on my rant when it comes to Pulp Fiction, my favorite movie. Shawshank's up there as well. Yeah. Is this. So every year they give out Academy Awards for, you know, best lead and best supporting. So Brad, do you know in a movie, let's say where, so you, I'm assuming you've seen A Few Good Men, right? With Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise. So when you have two, let's say you have two very strong performers like Cruise and Nicholson, when you try and figure out who is the actual lead versus supporting actor, they have a very straightforward way of doing it. They count lines of dialogue.
Okay.
So whoever has, so when you have that back and forth, that, well, really, who's the lead versus who's supporting actor? They just go back and count down lines of dialogue.
Yeah, she top billing.
So whoever has the most lines of dialogue is considered the lead. If it's not clear. Well, that year, John Travolta was nominated for best lead actor. Samuel Jackson was nominated for best supporting actor. Pulp Fiction is an ensemble movie. There's not, yeah. I mean, by the way, the star going, most people with that movie like me to go because it was billed as a Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a scene of him as Butch on the poster. Then you go like, this is really not about Bruce Willis or Butch at all. Although I will say that scene did give me pause of ever going into a pawn shop ever again. I'm good. I'm good. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there was a lot of controversy that year, and this is why I kind of tie this up, is that if you go back, because again, it's not clear who's the lead, Travolta versus Jackson in that tandem. If you go back and count lines of dialogue, Samuel Jackson has more lines of dialogue in that movie than Travolta. However, Travolta was nominated as lead actor. Samuel Jackson got supporting. Neither of them won.
Yeah.
But again, I just go, he was robbed. He should have been nominated for lead actor. So, and again, he's probably one of the top actors who have never won an Academy. He probably won't because his career is taking him to the superhero action movie genre that typically does not line up well for award season, which is fine. But again, he's just a phenomenal American actor. And again, just one of our absolute favorites. And again, we try and mention him every podcast that we do.
You know, my favorite movie has a similar story. Favorite movie, the movie was snubbed, the lead actor was snubbed as well from an Oscar. My favorite movie is The Crow. And Brandon Lee should have gotten an Oscar in that movie. It was the performance of a lifetime.
Yes.
And do you know who got his Oscar that year?
Do not.
Brad Pitt for Legends of the Fall.
No.
To this day, I have not seen Legends of the Fall because of that. I refuse. I will not watch Legends of the Fall.
Eric Draven is one of the, I mean, and you know, and they try to with sequels, and there's a television show for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Draven was just hella cool.
Yeah.
That great backstory, that iconic makeup, you know, all those things would just say, I mean, again, talk about, you know, so, I mean, by the way, that if Netflix wanted to, again, revive something for a series, give us an updated Crow. I mean, in the backstory and the deal with the soul and the supernatural. Have you ever, I'm gonna make a Charlie Sheen reference. Have you ever seen the movie The Wraith with Charlie Sheen?
The Wraith.
Wraith. W-R-A-I-T-H. The Wraith. So Wraith stands for basically a vengeful spirit.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Find it. It's on Amazon. It is worth it. It is basically, this is gonna sound weird, but I mean, it is Knight Rider meets The Crow.
Oh,
it is not, seriously.
I'm intrigued.
The way you, it is Knight Rider meets The Crow, and I mean that in an awesome way. That it has it predates The Crow.
Okay.
But very similar. And sort of the backstory, and the more you watch, I'm sure, I doubt it was, I'm not saying that it inspired The Crow, but definitely some of the things that some of the things that I like best about The Crow, this movie has, and it stars Charlie Sheen, which is just like, really? But it's for sure Charlie was winning. I think it was a very sober Charlie Sheen, in all honesty, which helped.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. It's an 80s movie, so it's definitely got some typical things blow up because things blow up.
Right.
Typical, got the 80s kind of soundtrack, but it's a really good movie. So check out The Wraith with Charlie Sheen. It's if you like The Crow, you will really, really dig this, I think.
Definitely will. All right, so I think that kind of wraps up our
Samuel Jackson.
But you know what? If you like us talking about Samuel Jackson, just listen next week. He's going to be brought up because we like him that much.
Yes.
So, Brian.
Yes, sir.
You went first with the movie, so I'm going to go first with
the test. Yes, sir. Let's hit it.
So, for this week, I wanted to get your take on your theories for the Batman. What do you think it's going to be like? What do you think? Where do you think they're going to go? Do you think I know he's got three movies in Matt Reeves has three movies in mind.
Yep.
So where do you think his vision of the Batman's going to go? I'll go first.
Go for it.
So I think that the Batman is secretly Hush. I think we are going to see Tommy Elliott come in and I think that Penguin is going to not be in the movie very much.
Okay.
I think we're only going to see him for a little bit. And I think he's going to be going through the rest of the series. And I think the three movie, this trilogy, the Matt Reeves trilogy, is going to play very close to Long Halloween.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will definitely go very much similar to
darker
Long Halloween. Yep.
All the villains are going to make an appearance but aren't going to be overshadowed.
Yes.
I think they're going to work in Tom Yellett because that's kind of just kind of cool.
I
don't want them to introduce anybody else. Like Robin, I'm good with Robin. I think we'll get a Robin in there.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Superman. I don't want to see Green Arrow. I want this to be just Batman.
Well, a couple things. Number one, I am so excited for Colin Farrell's turn as the Riddler. Really, here's what I think about that. I think we're going to get much more Cobblepot than Penguin.
Okay.
So I think this will be similar to Gotham. Is that the first movie, the Batman Begins did a bit of this. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to find a more grounded, dirtier, grittier Batman. I think it's very interesting is that DC, which literally has characters that can do anything like Superman, Flash, Cyborg, they played up how Wonder Woman is basically immortal. So I think with Batman, they're going to explore the dirtier, grittier, day-to-day part of this. I think you will see much more the early motivations of Batman. I think you again will see much more the people like Cobblepot, the people like the Riddler, even Selina Kyle's Catwoman being much more down to earth. I don't think you're definitely not going to see, futuristic space battles by any stretch. Yeah. I love the way they're handling with the with the Batmobile. So for me, the real thing is that I think you're going to see a much more involved Alfred with Andy Serkis. I think you're going to see, again, much more of a Cobblepot versus Penguin. I think you're going to see a very young, broken Bruce Wayne, who is coming to terms with being Batman. I mean, part of this, I think we're definitely going to, again, this is going to be a slow burn, like you said.
Yeah.
I think it definitely will follow more of the Long Halloween. And I think once we get to that third film, I think what we will get is more the Bat Tech, him flying around through the city, blowing things up versus this one. I think we're going to see a lot of scenes of him just understanding who and what the Batman is. That's what I think we'll definitely see. One of the things that I was thinking about doing, I'm just going to do an anecdote from watching the movie, is I think we're going to be surprised about the amount of screen time we see with him outside of the uniform. I think we actually see very, I think comparatively for a 3-hour movie, I think we see less than an hour of him as Batman. I really do. I think we see much more Bruce Wayne. I think we see much more Bruce Wayne.
Interesting, because I actually disagree. I actually think just the opposite.
Okay.
I think that we're going to see more Batman the detective, and that he's going to be more Batman than Bruce Wayne. See, I think that as the movies go through, we will get more Bruce Wayne, but I think sure. This is going to be primarily Batman. So
sure. And you know, it would make sense to make it very Batman. Okay, I say cow. I think it makes more sense to have him in the cow a lot, just because I think with the, just for no reason, then just day to day with the casting of Robert Pattinson, they're going to want to break with some of the, and again, I wish I was half the actor famous person that Pattinson was, right? Yeah, is, right? So I take Jolly Sport in it. But I think to break some of the pretty boyness, that, you know, because he was in the Twilight films, because he wasn't, you know, when he was in Goblet of Fire, I think one thing they're going to try and do, I mean, it would be smart of them to cover him up as much as they can with the cowl, to have him be Batman and less Bruce Wayne, because that's gonna, you're gonna be able to see the actual actor at that point. So I think it would behoove them to do that. I just think where it's probably gonna play out is that, and this is just a Brian thing. I think we're gonna see for a Batman movie. I don't know why. I just feel like we're gonna see more of it happen during the day. You know, Gotham is one of those places that is almost, it seems like continually shrouded at night. You know, whether it's the Batman movies going, even with Gotham, like Gotham was either always at night or shot where, you know, it was early part of the morning or dusk. It's rainy. It's kind of like Gotham is always shown to be almost opposite of Metropolis, that always seems to be bright time. You know, even at night, the moon is illuminating the entire sky, versus Gotham is always kind of dark. So I'm really, but something about this movie just feels like we'll get more in the bright of day moments, which makes me think we'll get more Bruce Wayne and less Batman in the movie. Again, it's a 3-hour movie, so we'll see how that time kind of gets anecdotally. Yeah. Shows up. I'm more excited for the other cast than I am for Robert Pattinson. Not because I don't like Pattinson, but when you look at the cast of this film, it's extremely strong.
Yeah.
So again, we don't want this to be a 355 thing. We want the, but Zoe Kravitz, Colin Farrell. I mean, they just have. I'm so excited for Jeffrey. So the Watcher is Commissioner Gordon. So I'm really excited for that. So
Claw is Alfred.
Yes.
Gollum is Alfred.
Yes. So at some point you wonder, does Alfred drop like his favorite tea cup and he goes, "My precious," you know, or maybe that's his nickname for little Bruce, that you'll always be. That made me creepy, didn't it? You'll always be my precious. Yeah. So yeah. And Circus is a really, I mean, just quick tangent. You know, because of how great he did as Gollum. There have been so much that he, you know, that he's, I mean, I remember seeing that you talk about how, what a great CGI actor he is, and in the Planet of the Apes movies and things of that nature. Yeah. But, you know, when he's had the chance to really be an actor a la, you know, Claw in Captain, in various movies, especially
Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther and
Age of Ultron. Well,
yeah, thank you. He can act. He is a good actor. So I'm loving going to see him. And as always, we always get a British Alfred. You know. So, but again, we've talked about this before. So who are we talking? So who's your that we have not seen the Batman yet? Obviously,
right.
But at this point, who's your favorite Alfred?
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oldman just seemed too young. You know, he's really seemed like, so I always want to see Gary Oldman in the suit. Like, can't you just put it on, dude? Like, you know, like this, like let Ben sleep.
Right. Yeah.
Master Wayne, go take a nap. I got this. You know, like there's never a good sign when you think Alfred can kick more butt than Batman. You know, that sort of deal. So, okay. All right. But yes, I definitely think that's what we're going to see is, I think we see more, because I think this also is more and more conducive to the art growing, is that you see, I think we're going to definitely see some Hush references in this, where again, you're going to see, I think you'll see early motivation. I think you'll see more Bruce heavy. Then I see him wrestling with the, where does Batman begin? Where does Bruce Wayne end? They'll explore, and then by the time we get to the third one, he's just all Batman all the time.
Awesome.
I think that's how it goes. So yeah.
All right. So you hear it here first, unless you didn't, but we're talking about it anyway. All right, Brian. Look what I have. Perfect timing there, little girl. What's up?
I have 10 questions.
Oh God.
Ask away. Did you say 2 or 10?
2.
Oh.
Okay.
What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite food?
What is your favorite color?
Okay, I think you've asked me this before. So, favorite color, it changes a little bit. I'm going to go kind of like a dark blue. I really like blue. And my favorite food is sushi.
I've never even tried that.
No, you sushi haven't.
Sushi is, my kids started eating sushi about your age, and he loves it. So, sushi is really good. Some people don't like the raw version, which is perfectly fine. There's lots of really great tempura cooked versions of it. I like the raw personally, but sushi is my favorite. If sushi didn't cost, $45 for 3 pieces, I probably would eat sushi every day. But sushi is definitely my favorite.
Awesome.
By the way.
Oh, wow. All right, kiddo. Why don't you tell Brian good night? We're finishing up right now.
Good night.
Good night. Wow. That is intense. Good night, Princess Leia.
Try sleeping after that.
I do. Yeah, I'm going to see that in my dreams. Well played. Well played.
All right, kiddo. I love you. Good night. I'll get there in a little bit. Yeah. We'll probably be like 10, 15 minutes more.
Yeah, no more. 10 minutes. We're good.
Yep. All right.
When you on Brian, you got to talk for hours.
But speaking of, fancy like. We'll text
about yes. That yeah, later. We got to do a fancy like. Absolutely. Yeah,
we got to do a fancy like. So, all right, Brian, I am ready to be baffled.
Okay, here we go. So, I am very proud of this week's task. So, here we go. So, as always, I feel the need to always revisit our rules, which is I'm going to read the riddle. I will read as many times as you would like. You are allowed 3 questions and 3 guesses. So if you're ready, let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, riddle me this. Kangaroo, cold, America. I put them all to shame. Only angels dare say my name. You can take the Jurassic out of the park and the man out of Encino. You'll find it harder to get my hair out of your cappuccino. I swing my club like Dre drops beats. I'm known for fighting crime in my bare feet. While Fred and Barney ran with a similar crew, my real besties are Shaggy, Fred, and a dog named Scooby-Doo.
Oh, wow.
I'm really proud of this one. Okay, I'm really proud of this one.
All right, let's.
You want to break it down a little more?
Yeah, let's read it again.
Okay, I'll go slower. That's a lot of information. Okay, so here's the first bit. Kangaroo,
okay.
Cold, like the temperature, and America. I put them all to shame. Only angels dare say my name.
Okay.
You can take the Jurassic out of the park and the man out of Encino, but you will find it harder to get my hair out of your cappuccino. I swing my club like Dr. Dre drops beats. I'm known for fighting crime in my bare feet. While Fred and Barney ran with a similar crew, my real besties are Shaggy, Fred, and a dog named Scooby-Doo.
Okay, so is this a fictional character?
Absolutely.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
No. I'll give you a hint since you asked the question.
Okay.
The character is male.
Character's male. Okay.
So I'm going to give you some help here. So Kangaroo, Cold, and America. So there's three, those names, there's three different characters that have that as part of their name that are similar. So Kangaroo, like the animal, Cold, mm-hmm. like the temperature, and America, the country. So there, those three characters, or those three characters that have something in common, that their names are Cold,
right,
Kangaroo, and America.
Kangaroo, Cold, America. Mm-hmm. This is a good one. Oh man.
Okay, here's another piece to it.
Okay.
Jurassic, you can take the Jurassic out of the park and the man out of Encino. So what are those references to?
Encino Man.
And the other part was the Jurassic out of the park.
Right.
So what do Encino Man and Jurassic Park have in common?
Dinosaurs.
Which lived when?
In the Jurassic, well, like long ago. Like
long ago. Okay.
Oh, wait. Okay.
No more hints. I will leave it to you from there. I think I just gave it to you.
Is this animated?
He is animated.
Is it Fred Flintstone?
No, but Fred Flintstone is similar. So, okay. So last question. So last guess. Okay. So here's the deal. Okay. So think about it from this part. Jump to the end. While Fred and Barney, think about the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Ran with a similar crew. So you would think the characters related, but his real besties are Shaggy, Fred, and a dog named Scooby-Doo. So that's the last piece of this character is in the same universe as Scooby-Doo.
Right, right, right.
Now, that's a large universe. That's right. That's a Hanna-Barbera. Very large universe.
Hanna-Barbera.
But, yeah.
Man, okay.
I really thought the first part would give it to you when we talked about Cold, Kangaroo, and America. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go Barney Rubble then.
No, no. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Captain Caveman.
Oh my gosh! If there was a Tracy, who's Captain Caveman in the newest in the movie Scoob?
Oh shoot! Yeah.
Oh gosh, Captain Caveman, very good.
Yes.
Oh, and he was in a Scooby Doo. He was in a Flintstones.
Yep.
Yeah, his own.
If you think about it, so Kangaroo, Cole, and America, they're all captains.
Right.
And then he had a short-lived show, Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels.
Yep.
Jurassic Park and Encino Man, prehistoric references, hair out of my cappuccino because the dude's just hairy.
Right.
Remember, he swings a club. And he fights in his bare feet. And then again, Fred and Barney, you would think, well, maybe he knew the Flintstones. But again, because Hanna-Barbera, you see him much more associated with Scooby-Doo. So Shaggy, Fred, and the dog named Scooby-Doo. So not bad, sir. So it's okay. All right.
That was your best. I will say it right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Captain Caveman is, again, another one of my absolute favorites growing up. I would love the thing that if I ran Netflix or Hulu, I would definitely do. Or I think, because Amazon usually shows more violent anime versions of stuff. But I think that's a really cool Netflix version. I mean, they have the updated He-Man series. I would love just a throwback to that. Another one would be, this totally gets into cultural appropriation and it's not PC at all, but I love Hong Kong Fooey growing up.
Yeah.
Just when he would jump into the filing cabinet.
Falcon.
Yeah. Oh, and Dynamutt and the Blue Falcon. Absolutely.
Some justice in the new Scoob with Mark Wahlberg was the Blue Falcon, but
yes,
the spin was he was the son of the Blue Falcon.
Sure.
He wasn't as heroic, but yeah, it was good.
All right. Fantastic. So
what is the attorney? Who's he?
Oh, Harvey Birdman. Yes.
Yes, Harvey Birdman. Awesome. All right.
Birdman. Yes, absolutely.
We need to do a revenge on Hanna-Barbera.
Yes, they had such, you know, and I mean, all of them, their characters are just fantastic. But so many of them were offshoots. I mean, talk about, you know, it's almost like, again, those video games that just recycle the same skins of characters over and over. Just maybe tweak it a little bit. They had that really archetype that was from the Scooby gang that they use with Speed Buggy and so many other. Remember Jabberjaw?
Yeah.
I mean, they just played with so many of the same. They did play with the same base formula, but they had just really good characters. So I think we definitely can revisit Hanna-Barbera anytime you want to, sir. And I think we definitely got to give it a little bit of love. And you know, one group we've never really talked about are Tom and Jerry, which I think, again, that's how it all started there. But anyway, yeah, so that was a fun one of a riddle me this, riddle me that. But yes, this week, unfortunately, you didn't make it, sir, but our character again was Captain Caveman.
That was the best one yet. All right, Brian, what do you want to say to end the show?
Well, as always, thank you so much for leveling up. You're awesome. We can't wait to see you next week. We're going to I'm getting a fairly lengthy report out on the Batman. So as always, no retreat, no surrender.
Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesomeness. Live free or die empty. Have a great day.